button.
It was on the wife's button.
My daughter just sent me a poop emoji.
How old is she? She 5? 4?
She's 6. She'll be 7 in April.
Don't you love that? I mean, I get all
kinds of
emojis for my kids.
I know. Well, and with the poop emoji, you can actually change the facial expression of the poop.
Nothing worse than booty poop.
That's right.
I have the recorder on.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Public can know that we're real people.
Yeah. Sally's shiny.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, God. Yeah. Well, just double check my email here, make sure. Okay, well, I think we're going to move forward here. So I'm going to go ahead and turn on Facebook Live. Something went wrong. That's not helpful.
Momento por favor.
She went on Sunday and came back on Friday.
That's a long time.
She went to that Magnolia.
Oh, yeah.
She had to see that while she was there.
That's cool. So she's still seeing good returns from being in the new location?
Yeah. Much, much better than that. Yeah.
You know, a leap of faith to bite off a bigger chunk, but, you know, if you're... Generally, if you know that in those locations are strong, maybe that's good.
Well, we're on this side of Main Street. Oh,
Can you see this still? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to try this again. Let's see if we can go live. Okay. It appears that we are live. So it is 6.05 p.m. on Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffitt.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano. Absent.
Absent. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on January 12th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Dan. I'm sorry, he got here first. Okay. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's unanimous of those present. Okay, next up is the MOU, or the Memorandum of Understanding, for the Humane Society of Whitley County. Rosie Coyle.
Okay, I did make a couple changes to that. I think I sent it in your Dropbox. Instead of an MOU, we've changed it to an agreement for the recommendation of our attorney. Okay. And, and so this is just, and they gave you, I sent out the report of what they've picked up for the year. Let's see. I think that was pretty much it.
No, you're doing the same thing I am, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh. Other than that, this is just our typical one that they do every year for us. And we give them $25,000 to take care of all the animals for us.
This is, it's 2018, the first year we started that, or we've been doing it longer than that.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah, they're so. Back. Now, we don't, according to this, we pay so much per annual, but actually we pay them a lump sum of 25 for the year, and, you know, sometimes we pay over what we, the number of animals, but that's what we're obligated for.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it looks like probably over the years it probably balances out.
Yeah.
That's nice to see.
Rosie, do we pay that once a year or quarterly?
I pay it quarterly.
Quarterly.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Dan, what did you say?
I said, it's nice to see that the total stray intakes are going down.
Yeah, stray intakes are going down. Well, I will say, you know, I'm a big advocate of the Humane Society. I think they do a great job here. I think Abby's leadership has been fantastic. And really proud to say that even though his name is not on the list, we adopted Loki, who was also a stray that was turned into the turned into the main shelter over the last couple months. So,
I'm sure the amount of strays going down with our money staying the same, but I'm sure their costs go up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of probably as a wash.
Well, and what I think is really great about our about the city is, this has really never been a question. It's never been questioned whether or not we should support the Humane Society.
Right.
And so I appreciate that about where we are, and as our kind of animal control organization that we effectively contract with, I think it's great. So, anything else in regards to that? Questions regarding the agreement? Okay, so with that, can I have a motion to approve the agreement between the Humane Society of Whitley County and the City of Columbia City as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. Next up is the petition to vacate alley for the Briggses. I will tell you that this is really kind of a city-initiated effort. For some time, this alley, which is on East Ellsworth Street, it is an alley that is a partial alley, that is a dead-end alley, that effectively only feeds that property. There's no other routes off of it. There's no other houses, garages, or anything else off of it. It is only for that property. It is a platted alley, and so as we kind of talk through that a little bit, obviously there's certain costs that come with that being a platted alley for our maintenance, especially for the street department. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to maintain that alley because it only feeds one home. It's basically a private drive, but it's a platted alley. So with that being said, in talking with Marcia and obviously Kelly had kind of brought this to me, speaking with the owners, the Briggses there, we all agreed that it made the most sense to vacate that alley over to the Briggses so that they could have that as their private drive for that piece of property.
Now,
Dan.
Usually when there's an alley vacate, half goes to one side, half goes to the other.
Yep.
Now is that, and now is the other party on the adjacent side agreed to give them the whole thing?
Yeah, so Marcia, I'm assuming you're on there. The question Dan asked was about...
Can you hear me okay? I'm in the car.
Yes, we can.
You hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you hear me? Yes.
Okay. So I had Kevin Michael and Nathan. So I had Kevin Michael. The alley is in one addition, platted addition. It will go with the Briggses and not to the other property. It won't be a half and half split. I have not been over there before, but that's what's going on here.
Okay. I'm sorry, Marcia, you kind of broke up there. I apologize. But I know that I actually talked to Mr. Sutton, who was the other property owner, but I know when Marcia was looking at it, there's, I don't, some kind of statute, and I'm sure I'm saying that incorrectly, but effectively, this is the legal way of doing it. Let's say it that way. That's the best way I can say it without that. But
so they are, the Briggses are assuming responsibility for that vacated alley.
That is correct.
Okay, because I know before I heard rumors that nobody wanted it.
No, no, yeah, the Briggses, Ryan, I've been working specifically with Ryan, and he absolutely is willing to take over that alley. Just for full disclosure, we are doing a little bit of stormwater improvement on there because there's some washout, but he understands it feeds his property. He understands it shouldn't be the city's responsibility, so, yep, so I think we're all squared away on that. Other questions I can try to answer about the alley vacate?
We will have a public hearing on this on the 23rd of February.
Okay. So we'll have a public hearing on the 23rd of February on this issue. Okay. Okay. So is there a resolution or some number?
The ordinance? No, because this is the petition.
Okay.
So if everybody agrees.
So they just need to accept the petition.
Yeah.
And then we'll move it into.
First reading will be next.
Gotcha. We'll move it into ordinance form. So can I have a motion to accept the petition for vacation of an unimproved alley?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. We'll move that to ordinance form. I guess at the next meeting.
Yes.
And go from there. Okay. What were we doing with the storm sewer system annual report? Was John going to be?
Oh, no. John had just sent me that and wanted me to pass it on.
Okay.
To everybody, and if you had any questions, he would be glad to come to the meeting or answer anything that you have.
Okay, any questions regarding that, or would you like to have that further discussed?
He's pretty thorough with his report, so.
I say, John, he does a fantastic job for us, better than I've ever seen, honestly. He does just a terrific, he analyzes things to the extent. So.
Right. I don't disagree with you on that.
So I just put it in your Dropbox so you have it.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been pretty good in the past to point out some concerns, so I didn't see anything, you know, in reviewing that with any concerns that he may have.
Yeah. Well, so here's what I think we'll do. Is that as you review, digest that report, if you'd like to have John come in at a future meeting, let me know. Obviously, Mike Shota works directly with John on a lot of these issues. He does, obviously, a lot of our construction stuff. He also was an individual who really helped kind of craft and lead the discussion about permitting for construction activities that you all took, moved forward on a couple of meetings ago. So I know, obviously especially with the recent large construction projects, he has been keeping an eye on lots of those things and making sure they're following compliance, etc. So if you'd like him to come in and present at a future meeting, please let me know. Be happy to schedule him at that point. But if not, we will move forward, I guess. Okay. The electric. Yeah. Okay. So in your Dropbox, as I previously mentioned, in your Dropbox there is a comparison, if you will, for the electric rate adjustment. It shows the difference between phase one and phase two. I recognize that at the last meeting there was specific discussion about moving toward a two-phase, but I also felt like the information is not, was not super clear and readily available, if you will. So in your Dropbox specifically, there is a comparison that shows the two and shows the difference between that. I'm going to hop over there as I'm talking here. But effectively, you can see the difference in the different kilowatt hours. As Sean and I were kind of talking, you know, there's a lot of residential bills that are closer to the 1,000 than they are necessarily to, you know, the other groups, 1,000 kilowatt hours per month. So you can see what the difference between the two phases are there. Again, I know that there was a discussion about whether to you know, raise electric rates in one phase or two phase. Again, to the public, keep in mind that it's been over a decade since electric rates have been adjusted. Certainly costs have gone up significantly since a decade ago, and certainly cost of doing construction and other things is a part of that. But I have been really proud of the efforts that our electric department has done, whether it be the AMI project, preparing for the 69 kVA conversion from AEP, and many other multiple projects that are super impactful. And with the projected rate increase, we're still going to be below Northeastern REMC's rates. So our nearest competitor, if you will, if there is such a thing as electric competitors, but and certainly we'll be below the IOU or investor-owned utility of AEP, their rates. So with that, for the record, Jennifer Romano is joining us right now. So with that being said, hello, hi Jennifer. So with that being said, I want to just open it up. Jennifer, for your information, the Dropbox, there is a comparison to show what the difference would be between one phase and two phases of this rate, of this electric rate adjustment. So I just want to kind of open it up to the council and so that we know how to craft the ordinance for the next meeting, whether it's a one or two phase that you all want to go after. Keeping in mind the, again, just as a recap from the last meeting, the Utility Rate Advisory Board had recommended a two-phase, but again, it's a recommendation, so that's up to you.
Is Sean's on there, right?
He is. Sean is on there.
Hey, Sean, you said the average rate per home in our city is what, $1,000 to $1,500?
Right. So we're very unique. As a municipal, having both residential and urban and non-urban areas. So I would say in the more urban areas, you know, it's closer to 750, and then in the rural areas, it's closer to 1500. So what we've kind of done is looked more at the middle ground, more around 1,000 kilowatt hours, which is basically, if you're looking at phase one and phase two, there's a difference of only $3.26 between phase one and phase two. So ultimately, you know, I'm going to leave that up to you guys, whether you're in favor of a one phase or a two phase implementation. But yeah, just, you know, like I said, we're kind of basing on 1,000, which is kind of middle ground between two.
And if I remember correctly, when Buzz presented this to us, he said that the phase one would basically cover us where he thought we need to be, or where his reports came out where we need to be, and that phase two was only going to be necessary if the phase one change didn't cover our cost, or not cost, but to cover, you know, to get us within that ratio that we need to be for future usage and issues that we may possibly have. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, you're correct. So basically, phase one is what we feel we need to do right away. That gets us back operating at a little bit of a profit. Phase two, we feel, is necessary to keep us moving forward and making further advancements. But what we recommended was, after, if we choose to do a two-phase, we recommend, you know, reevaluating after 9-10 months to make sure we still need that phase. And if we don't need that phase, then we can always write into the ordinance to not move ahead with that second phase.
Go ahead, Walt.
No, I was feedback for Sean. You know, if we do a one phase and we find out that we don't need it, we've always seemed to find a use for it, and it never really gets returned. Or if we went to a two phase, we can activate the second phase, what I want to say, easier, to look out for the public's best interest. I mean, that's my thought. You got anything concerned or different?
I will say, it was my idea actually to move forward on a two-phase platform or strategy, just to help, you know, to reevaluate after 8 or 9 months to see where we're at. I know there's not much difference in the two phases. I get that. So moving forward one phase seems like an advantage, but if we pass this way it's written, that second phase will happen without us going through any further meetings, any further approvals. It's in this approval. So we won't have to go through this entire process to get that second phase in. But we can, after 9-10 months, decide that that's not necessary and still revoke that second phase of rate increases. I feel, you know, with us moving forward, and just looking at the comparison to rates around us, I feel like that second phase is going to be real important, being that we haven't moved forward with a rate increase in 12 years or so. So, yeah, I'm absolutely leaving it up to the council what they think is best. My recommendation is either going through with the two phases or doing one together, but I think both phases are going to be required in the long run. That's just my personal opinion.
I think the recommendation from the Utility Rate Advisory Board was to do a two-phase. And I think when they were discussing that, just from my recollection, and Sean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from my recollection of that discussion, it was really about building to the future. Again, it's been 10, 12 years since we've adjusted electric rates, and certainly to kind of do it in a two-phase and to go effectively all the way, if you will, with this, it may put us in a position where maybe we don't need to go, you know, maybe we don't need to come back to the well in a couple of years. But keep in mind, again, it's also a philosophical thing that we need to have that conversation and make that decision. But, you know, certainly, as the future marches on and as technology marches on, there's always a need. There's always a need for cash, right? There's always a need for that cushion, if you will, that can be utilized for major projects. But again, I think this comes down to kind of a philosophical discussion more than anything else. So,
yeah, I'm not opposed to doing the two-phase at all. I just want to make sure that...
Sure.
Is there a timeline? I know that, Sean, you said that it would be 9 to 10 months, we'll revisit it and look at the numbers. So that implementing that second phase, is there a timeline? I mean, does it have to be within, you know, after you revisit it and look at the numbers, does that have to be within, you know, is Marcia going to draft it so it's within 60 days, 90 days, or can we just, within a two-year time period, or I guess just trying to find out what if there's like a timeline when we would have to implement that. Is that
going to
be written into the ordinance?
As a council, you guys can basically do, you know, whatever you feel is necessary. If you wanted to say, you know, 24 months, if you wanted to say 12 months, that's completely up to you. But all we're bringing forth to you is a recommendation.
Okay.
Ultimately, you guys will make the decision moving forward, how we move forward. But this is a recommendation. We're writing ordinance if we say 12 months, and then you know, in 11 months from now, we decide it's not necessary, then we can write a new ordinance.
Okay.
The way we move forward from there, if we feel it's not necessary, we just have to move forward with the new ordinance.
Are you still unable to understand me?
No, we can hear you.
Okay, so at the last meeting, I asked Buzz about that, and he gave the time frame for the auto sort of transfer into phase two, if that's the way you went. So it should be in the minutes, but I have that in my notes from the last meeting as to what date he said, because I had asked that question last meeting.
It says a year after phase one.
Okay.
So.
Well, and what I had asked was which date, the date it's implemented, the date it started. And I think it was the date that it actually, we start the rates, was the, or maybe it was the date we pass it. But anyway, it was a year from that date. And again, I have it in my notes, so when I drafted it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Buzz Crone shared, since they were not sure of the initial effective date, he suggested it start 1 year from the effective date. So it's effective, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I have a question. So what stupid fake news that I approved the two-phase?
I'm sorry, try one more time.
When would phase two start if we did two phases?
Yeah, so I mean, assuming that we would, you know, make it an effective date of, I don't know, July 1 or whatever it would be, because effectively, really the only thing that I think we're really handcuffed by is making sure that your accounting software reflects the new rates, correct?
Yeah, and I have to get the public hearing.
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm saying is that once we get the ordinance approved,
yes,
it's not something we have to wait an official 6 months or 8 months or whatever. It's just, however, as soon as we get your software done, but we still have to to line whatever the effective date is. So if we do, if it is July 1, and I'm just throwing that date out, but if it's July 1, then theoretically phase 2 would be July 1 of 2022.
Okay.
Okay. Walt or Jenny or Dan? Or Tad, I guess. Okay, so I need some consensus then from the council as to what route you want to take. If you want to take a two-phase route, take a one-phase route, what you want to do?
I support a two-phase.
Yeah, I think...
I'm sorry?
I support the two-phase.
Dan supports the two. Tad is also two. Two for Jennifer, two for Walt. So I'm assuming Jenny's along that route too. So, okay, so what we will do then is we will have Marcia draft up the two-phase rate adjustment. And again, if we think we can fit into a timeline, again, I just threw out July 1st, but is that an acceptable date? Or?
Yeah, I would say that it would start with the reading following, let's just say, April's meter reading. So it'd be the bill.
So it'd be the May billing.
Yeah.
Potentially. If that's acceptable to everybody, that's what we can draft into the ordinance in and of itself. And we can do later if you want to, but Walter, it looks like you want to say something.
Oh, just clarifying. So a year has come and gone. So we have to have a discussion to move forward or to extend it.
You'd only have to have a discussion. Sorry, go ahead.
It'll be an automatic start of phase two, and I think the recommendation would be a month or two in advance, decide whether you officially want to do it, but it'll still be automatic unless you decide not to do it.
Okay.
Yep. I got shaking heads here. Okay. Any other convo? Okay, so what we will do then based on your conversation today is we'll have Marcia go ahead and draft up that rate adjustment ordinance for the next meeting to be first introduced at the next meeting, and then I'm assuming we'll do public hearing at the following meeting, the second meeting in February, or no?
Well, I've got it scheduled. I've got to get it to the newspaper, but I've got it scheduled for the first reading in February.
Okay.
The public hearing February 23rd.
Okay.
And that'd be the final.
The final reading as well. Okay. So public hearing and final reading will be the second meeting in February, but it will come out for first reading at the next meeting, and we'll do it toward a two-phase. One other thing I want to make sure that's clear, since we're on this topic, Sean, I'm going to bring you back up here, is the solar piece, because I think we had some minor discussion about that the last time, about putting in a fee for effectively solar, and keep in mind the fee is because we have infrastructure going as their backup effectively. So just like sewer, even though individuals are not necessarily connected to our sewer, they may have a septic tank or whatever, if they're within a certain, you know, footage or whatever, there's a certain fee that that sewer, they have to pay for toward that sewer because of the fact that we have that accessibility. So if all of their stuff, you know, goes to junk, in order to stay compliant, they can connect to our system. Same type of thing when it comes to electric, in that if they're, if, you know, we get multiple days without sun, which is, you know, every winter, then it creates a scenario.
Which is November through.
Which is November through about April. Then we have that ability to, they, then we're their backup power effectively. So, Sean, did I explain that correctly?
Yeah, the only thing I'll add is the cost of our infrastructure is built into our rates, obviously. So it's built into the 10 cents of per kilowatt hour rate for a normal customer. We established that rate by considering how much power they're going to use over a year. And if you're supplementing that with solar, you're not as using as much power, which means you're not paying the same kilowatt hour. You're not paying your fair share of the infrastructure cost. And that's where the surcharge for renewable energy comes from, is you're not really paying your fair share for the infrastructure built all the way to your house because you're using less kilowatt hours.
Okay, does that make sense? That will be built into the actual rate ordinance, just so you're all aware. Okay, any other questions regarding the rate adjustment? Okay, I am not seeing any at this moment in time, so we're going to move forward. Okay, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and, Sean, since you're already kind of up, do you have any discussions or anything you want to update the council on?
I'm not really. Just like I did on the board, just let everybody know, I've been dealing with the IURC on a gas line strike that we had, working with some training and what we're doing with the civil penalties on that. I've been dealing with IOSHA, our CSO project, general contractor, made contact with one of our distribution lines, knocking out City Hall and about 400 other customers the other day. So they've been, we filed a complaint with the IUHSA, the OSHA of Indiana, basically. So I've been dealing with them, having meetings with them on where we need to move forward on that. Working with IDEM on possible fines coming for our gasoline pumps because they don't have the latest information, which they actually do, so we're working through that. And then we've just been working on street lighting at Deer River, which is out by, obviously, by Deer Chase. The lights should be installed and should be energized in the next few days.
Okay. Questions of Sean? Nope. Okay. Thank you, Sean. Mark, we'll go to you next.
Okay. Kind of a lot going on the last few weeks with the high school property, and I'm not sure what you guys have heard updated on that. But obviously they're taking down the high school right now. I got a phone call from the demo company, which is DNR Demolition from Ohio. And they informed me that when they were done, it was going to be a giant hole, and it could fill with water and be a decent-sized lake. Obviously, when I heard that, I was pretty concerned because that's not at all what the mayor and I were led to believe it was going to look like. We thought there was going to be a swale, which we knew that. There's a deep basement underneath that main hallway at the high school, really 25 feet below ground. It's pretty deep. And they were told to finish the project without bringing in fill. And so they were going to bring it back as much as they could to make it look decent. But then they found out that the two-story part of the building, which is the wing with two floors that's 6 feet below ground. They didn't know that. And so without having fill, now there'd be an L-shaped swale, deep swale. So I talked to the mayor about it and trying to find out pricing is what it would cost for us to bring more fill in or try to grade it, how it would be for the amphitheater. So we showed our engineers the plans for the park, met with the demo guys, and they're trying to come up with numbers as to what it would cost to actually do that now with the equipment there. And I don't have an exact number, but I can tell you that it's more than I really thought it was going to be. It's going to be anywhere from $140,000 to over $200,000. So I think we'll talk about this more at retreat. We still want a maintenance barn. We need one really bad at the park, so I don't want that to go on hold. But so it's just going to be a discussion topic with what we do, because they're going to really be done with that property here. If you had a way to take care of that now and make it look better with getting it to scale of what it's going to be, you do that now, or you could wait and keep it a decent sized hole now. So that's the discussion we'll have later, I guess. But that's really about all that I know. Still should know more the next couple of days. I don't have the exact number yet, but again, I said it's $140,000 to possibly over $200,000 to do that now.
Jennifer.
There's no merit to put on there, and the project is there.
Yeah. So it's kind of disappointing. It's not what we thought at all it was going to be like, but
I found out. On that note, I do have a conversation set up to just have a chat about lots of different things with Dr. McDermott, who's taking over as superintendent for Whitley County Consolidated. So this will be definitely a topic of discussion in that regard, but I think it is something we're going to need to kind of consider what options we have next week. So with that being said, Mark, go ahead.
We started our baseball and softball registration yesterday online. So right now people can register online only. We're trying to have one day in March 6th when they can come in and register face-to-face. I don't know if our numbers are going to go way down or if they're actually going to be high because people didn't have it last year and they missed it. I just don't know what to expect with registration number. We're starting to advertise for pool position, for lifeguards, for the work to desk, and also concession stand workers. I'll tell you some of this at retreat, but we are going to run the concession stand at the pool this year. This will be our first time doing it there. That's a big change for us, but I think we're ready for it now. Other than that, I have a whole lot more.
Questions? Nope. Questions on here? Nope. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Mike Schroeder, then Chip, then Scott.
I really don't have anything to add to my report at this time. If anybody's got any questions, though, I'll try to answer them.
Questions of Mike? Hey, one thing, Mike, I just realized, I don't know why it's there, but I've noticed when I take my daughter to school every day to Mary Raber, there's two cones by a drain on Van Buren Street. Is that ours or is that NDOT's or?
That's NDOT's.
Okay.
The grate fell in, so I don't know when they're going to fix it, but that is theirs to take care of.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Anything else? Nope. Okay. Thank you. Chip?
Hey, I forgot to give that to the Board of Works. Westgate's moving forward. We got the final quote from ANZ Engineering, a little higher than we expected, but I'm working with Lori Shipman. Hopefully Friday Community Crossing grant is due, so we're anticipating having that done. Next Levels Trail grant has reopened. We're hoping to reapply for that for the trail to the high school, which we have also, I was going to cover this in retreat, but we've also applied for an NDOT grant, which is 5-year time frame on that. So hopefully Next Level Trail grant comes through. And working with Mike, I wish that he would have gave a presentation on stormwater. I know that's his department, but gotta get a little dig in there. And so, but I'm assisting with him. Alliance Grain out in Rail Connect is having some issues with water pressure. So we're looking at doing something out there to kind of increase that. So other than that, if there's any questions, reach out.
Question to Chip? This is some nice Christmas tea decorations you got in your ears there, Chip. Scott.
So everything at the police department and communications department seem to be going along fine. Nobody is out with any kind of COVID or anything. We have two guys in the virtual academy, Officer Baker and Officer Branicky. So they have a couple more weeks of that, and then they'll be off to the academy to finish up. So that's a good news story. Officer Madison has started his FTO program, and he's riding around with Sergeant Calhoun right now and seems to be enjoying himself and learning lots of things. Some of you might have heard that there has been some distribution of literature on people's cars, and we had officers look into it. They're a little bit out there, as in some conspiracy theories and Satan's coming kind of letter. Not illegal.
Did you get it in your box? I'm sorry, Scott. Hold on a second. Did you get anything? Did you get any kind of conspiracy theory? Anything in your box? Okay. So there's three of us in that edition that didn't get it. Just as a
left out. Yeah. So it was primarily around Columbia Shores, and it was like just conspiracy theories and Satan's coming kind of things, and it's a First Amendment thing. There was no direct threats to anybody. It's just like inject yourself with chlorine and it'll cure COVID and stuff like that. So it's just weird stuff. And we weren't able to locate anybody that was doing it to talk to them to see what their thoughts were. But no crime that we're aware of has been committed, except maybe trespass if you catch them and tell them to stay off your property. And then to make the council aware, we had a nice drug arrest. An officer made a traffic stop and found on US 30 and found five pounds of methamphetamine. So that's been filed with the prosecutor. That's a large amount in any location. And during the Border Works approved the 2021 patrol vehicle from City Ford. Other than that, I have nothing else.
Question to Scott. No. Just for, just so you're aware in more context to that, that babble, if you will, that was on that piece of paper, or on those pieces of paper, it started out by saying White Lives Matter, but then you did get one?
Take one back. Yes, I got it in the mailbox.
Okay, so Dan did get one. But long story short is that it was a whole lot of conspiracy theory, and it actually had very little to do with racism, which is really curious. But obviously, we don't support racism and equivocally, go against all that kind of stuff. But point of the matter is that I think it's a very small amount of individuals that actually got that piece of paper. So just so you're aware, it's a whole lot of stuff that is a little bit incoherent. Yes. So any other questions of Scott? Okay. Rosie.
Nothing.
Daniel.
FYI, the state's going to be flying probably our area, not in 2022. They're going to fly the central part of the state for new aerial photography. So hopefully we can get free stuff at 6-inch pixel resolution. Also, the 2020s are now on the beacon. So finally, they're on the beacon. So it's going to be kind of exciting to say that the state's finally building up to the table to get us some new aerials in 2022, So we'll see what they are. We have a chance to buy up to a 3-inch pixel resolution, make it a little clearer.
Okay.
But we'll see what the, I don't know, I have to put my GIS hat on. And
Did everyone hear that? General, no, okay, so basically the state is going to be flying next year in 2022. They're going to be flying the aerials. The 2020 aerials were just put up on the GIS within the last couple weeks.
Yeah, last week they finally put them up.
Last week, and so he had his GIS hat on a little bit, but we have a good partnership, if you didn't know that. The city partners with the county on those fees, if you will, for the GIS piece, because we utilize those as well. So, good. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tad.
Nothing.
Jenny. Jenny.
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Walter?
Nothing.
Jennifer?
Hey, I just wanted to let everyone know that the State of the City annual lunch meeting is going to be on March 5th at noon, and it will be available to be watched online.
Thank you. Thank you. For me, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that is going on right now, but Scott and I sat through some dispatch interviews today, I think we're on the cusp of hiring somebody for that open position. We got blood draw for the city wellness program happening on Thursday. So that'll be happening the majority of the day there. I actually am sitting through a redistricting webinar on Thursday as well. Who knows if we'll even need it or not, but I'm sitting through that webinar. Just have a variety of other, I guess, meetings and stuff. The interesting thing this year about the wellness program for our city employees is that not only do they do the blood draw, but they also will have and they do the wellness survey or document, whatever it is, where they put together and it shows the risk. But they also we're also providing them an opportunity to meet with a wellness professional to kind of go through and talk about some of the issues and help them with whatever things they can do to improve their wellness. So I think that's a good thing. We have fire pension meeting next Monday morning, bright and early at 7 a.m. And then the following Monday, which is right after the Super Bowl, we have the police pension meeting. And as a reminder to the council, I will send out more information regarding the retreat on Thursday the 4th. I'll send out retreat information hopefully tomorrow morning, preferably. So,
figuring out if it's 2 days or.
If you've not responded to whether 2 days or 1 day is your preference, please do so tonight. So that I can get that finished tomorrow. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to bring up or talk about. I don't think so. Facebook Live still going. Have any questions, press? Okay. Press says we're good. So with that, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
you. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Do it right now?
Wait, I shut this off.
Let's see.